This raising from the dead power is on the inside of you, every one of you that's born again. And if you get your mind renewed to where you believe it and start acting like it, then it'll just flow out of you.
You can't get close to God and not enjoy life.
God is going to bless your going out and your coming in.
The enemy has tried to say that that's all you were destined for. And can I tell you today, you're destined for something so much bigger than your plan.
Welcome all those who are watching online, and tell you we're going to be in Romans chapter 1, and this is my favorite class actually to teach here, and I've taught this for a number of years. Years ago there was another instructor that I very much respected and had great honor for, and he stepped down from his position, so I asked Andrew if I could teach the book of Romans. So this is my favorite class, and I've been asked many times what is your favorite scripture and what is your favorite book? Well, I had to identify it like this. I have so many scriptures that I love, but the book of Romans is my favorite book of the Bible. And my favorite chapter is Romans chapter 8. And in fact, Andrew Womack came to my hometown, Lamar, Colorado in 1978. He had a Bible study there. My mother, I was 14 years old. And my mother was praying to God for me. She said, God, could you help me with Lawson? He is impossible. I can't do anything with him at all. And so about that same time, Andrew Womack came to town, and my mom started going to his Bible study, and she invited me. I was 14. We lived in the country. I love fishing. She said, listen, if you'll go to this Bible study with me, she said, I will buy you some fish bait. And praise God, I love fishing. I was 14. We lived in the country. We didn't go to town a lot other than go to church. And so I said, I'll go with you. And she took me to Kmart, bought me some fish bait, and took me to Andrew's Bible study. And my life was forever changed, transformed, turned from night to day. Amen. From darkness to light. I mean, it was turned, revolutionized, turned right side up. Amen. And so... But Andrew was teaching. Back then, Andrew, led his own worship. And he played a 12-string guitar. And he'd say, turn to this scripture. And we'd turn to this one. This is the day. And he'd play this guitar and lead this song from these scriptures. Then he'd say, turn to this scripture. Thy loving kindness is better than life. And he would sing these scriptural songs. And so after he got done leading his own worship, Andrew, he was his own sound man. And so he would take this. He had a mic, and he took this mic, and he recorded himself on a single cassette deck. And I remember this Marantz cassette deck that he had. And so he took this mic and he plugged it into this little single cassette deck and started recording himself. And the first day that I went, he held his Bible in his hand just like this. Now, I was saved. I'd been saved since I was 8. I grew up in a traditional church. But he held his Bible just like this, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, you listen to this man, he knows what he's talking about. That was 45 years ago today, as we teach. Amen. 45 years ago in the summer of 1978, I was 14 years old. Andrew's 15 years to my senior. Andrew was 28. And I started listening, and I've been listening to Andrew Womack for the last 45 years, and it has revolutionized my life. Amen. Amen? And one of the first things that I learned is what I teach in Romans, and that is that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. And the book of Romans, again, it's my favorite book. While we were going there, this is what I was going to tell you. My mom said, we should start a church, and we should call it the Romans 8 Church. Hallelujah. Well, Romans is my favorite book. Romans 8 is my favorite chapter. Amen? And my favorite verse is Romans 8:11. If the Spirit of Him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, He will quicken your mortal body by His Spirit that dwells in you. Amen? And this teaching on Romans has revolutionized my life. Praise God. It has transformed my life. And two things really came to me in those early years. The first thing was our identity in Christ. We're a brand new creation in Christ. And the first aspect of that identity that came to me, I was very insecure about myself. The first aspect of this revelation of who we are in Christ that came to me was that we are the righteousness of God. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And that is revelation, and most of you in this place understand that. But at the same point in time, I used to say that to people and they would get completely mad. I remember my wife's brother came to her wedding. They came from another state, and his wife, I said, I am the righteousness of God in Christ, and we are the righteousness of God in Christ. And she got so mad at me. She was furious because, you know what? She was religious. And, you know, I had somebody Sunday, I'm teaching on, you know, provision. I'm actually teaching. God gave me, I haven't taught on finances in my church on Sunday morning, you know, just a whole series on it for 3 years. And I'm teaching on the blessing of generosity. And this woman was just mad at me Sunday. She was mad at me the Sunday before. And she said, we just give to God. We don't expect nothing. And I asked her, I'm just teaching the promises of God. It's amazing how many people will just ignore what the Bible says to hold on to their old religion. I said, if you plant a garden, do you expect a harvest? And I was teaching on, the first message was on seed time and harvest. The second one's on the tither's blessing. And there's a blessing that's associated with giving. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25 says, there's he who scatters and yet increases. And there's he who withholds more than is sufficient, and yet it tends to poverty. He who blesses others will be blessed. Amen? Praise God. When you bless others, I've been blessing others for a long time. Hallelujah. Andrew, I love Andrew Womack. He is a very generous person. Amen. My friends are some of the most generous people that I know in this world. Praise God. And yet they get so much criticism. Well, they just don't understand. They just haven't read the Bible. Amen. They just don't believe the scriptures. And we need to believe the scriptures. But anyway, you know, this is Romans lesson number one. Praise God. If you're watching online, we welcome you. I got a few things I want to tell you about before I get started. I wrote this book. Andrew Womack wrote the foreword to it. Praise God. Romans, the Revelation of Righteousness. It's out there. And I brought four books. I bought Hebrews, the Better Covenant. I teach that in second year Bible covenants here at the Bible school. I brought another book. And these, we do all these. It's like I said, suggested donations. So you can give whatever you want to. And provision, releasing supernatural increase in your life. And I believe I'm very anointed to teach it. Praise God. And God has really helped me. You like this book? Do you want that book? God bless you. Hallelujah. And then Barbara just wrote this, and Andrew Womack wrote the foreword in this, Imparting Success to the Next Generation. And my wife has a supernatural anointing with kids and understanding them. And this is stuff that we taught our kids. Our three sons, they're all super blessed. You want this one? God bless you. There you go. All right. Who wants Romans? Oh, wow. This guy's quick on the draw. Oh, give that to that one right on the front row. All right. Praise the Lord. But anyway, there's a bunch out there. And it's, you know what? It's a suggested donation. So you give whatever you want. I want to bless you. Amen. And, you know, but that this book on Romans is what I've taught here in this Bible school. And if you're watching online, you can get all that on Amazon. You can go to our website at CaresChristianCenter.com and get all that stuff. And it all runs through Amazon, all our books, because we had to abide by all the tax laws. Amen. If you come to church, you can get them just like this. It's a suggested donation. I pastor in Colorado Springs, Caris Christian Center. And I've been pastoring there since we founded the church in 2001. I've been teaching at the Bible school since the year it started. I believe that was 1994. I was actually in meetings with Andrew Womack when he was talking about starting it. Praise God. And so I've known Andrew since 1978. I've been supporting his ministry since 1978. I greatly increased it when he started the Bible school in 1994. I love this Bible school. It wasn't available when I went to Bible school. So, but I got this revelation. So the first thing that happened to me is I got this revelation that I am the righteousness of God. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. And I begin to understand my new identity in Christ. The other thing that happened, in a very short time after I met Andrew Womack at the Bible study, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit in his Bible study. And that was, I think I started going in, I know it was the summer of 1978, and within a few weeks in October, I believe, of 1978, the Bible study had moved from a house across from my cousin's house in Southwest Lamar to my aunt Ruth's apartment. And that apartment's actually on Andrew's 50-year anniversary video, but my Aunt Ruth Dieterle's apartment. And Andrew had this thing in her apartment. And that night after he taught what he taught on, and that first day, that first time that I heard him, he held his Bible. And this is what the Holy Spirit spoke to me. You know what? There's a Bible full of promises that you can believe. And I just got it. You don't have to be sick, poor, and defeated. And you know what? It's working in my life. And you can't tell me it's not true. There's a Bible full of promises, and I believe them. And they're working in my life. Hallelujah. And you know what? I've had a few opportunities to die since I started believing that, but I passed them all up. And I've had a few opportunities to go broke, and I passed all those up. Amen. And I've had a few opportunities to be defeated, and I keep passing those up. And I just keep believing what God says about me. But in 1978, in October, I believe it was, he was in my aunt's apartment. He taught. After he taught, he invited people to come up and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when Andrew did that, a number of people came up, and then he invited all the others in this Bible study. And at that time, he had 6 Bible studies around Southeast Colorado and Southwest Kansas. And he'd do one a night, every night. You know, they generally started at 7 o'clock Monday to Saturday night. He didn't have one on Sunday. But then he invited all the people who were in the meeting, who were baptized in the Holy Spirit, to come up and lay hands on those that had come up to receive the Holy Spirit. And there were 10 or 15 people that had come probably forward to receive the Holy Spirit. And these other people then gathered around them. And I decided later, I want to get that. So I got in the back of the group. Amen. And when Andrew prayed for people to receive the Holy Spirit, I just put both my hands up there. And I just received the Holy Spirit. And I started speaking in other tongues. And that was 45 years ago. And if I haven't spoken in tongues every day since then, I've spoken in tongues nearly every day since then. And I just want to tell you right now that I treasure my relationship with Andrew and Jamie Womack. And I have the greatest respect for them. I have the greatest respect for this ministry and this Bible school. And I love them and I appreciate them. And I appreciate this Bible school. And I love this Bible school. Praise God. Amen. So I said all that so we can get started teaching. Amen. God bless you. We appreciate you. Let's start Romans chapter 1. Let's start in verse chapter 1. And we'll just look here. And actually what I want to get to, which is really, to me, one of the key verses, and it's the key message, is Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and verse 17, where Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes it, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile, to the Greek. For therein, in the gospel, the righteousness of God has been revealed from faith to faith, according as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Amen? He says, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, from the faith of the Jew to the faith of the Greek. Amen? According as it is written, the just shall live by faith. You know, faith is a lifestyle. It's not a movement. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, we'll get back to that, and hopefully we'll share some things about that at the end of this session. But right here in Romans chapter 1, Before I get right into this, the author is Paul the Apostle. He is the father of the grace message. And the subject is the righteousness of God by faith, justification, law, and grace. In fact, to me, the heart of the gospel is the message of grace, what Jesus has done, faith, our positive response towards it, and righteousness. What happens to us when we believe the gospel is we're made righteous. Amen. That's the heart of the gospel. That's what Paul teaches in Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. He teaches the heart of the gospel. And most of the time when you come to my church on a Sunday morning, I'm going to teach something that has to do with the heart of the gospel. Grace, faith, and righteousness. Grace, what Jesus has done. Faith, our positive response to it. And righteousness, the result of the gospel. Amen? And really, when you understand righteousness, right standing with God, when you believe on Jesus, you are made 100% righteous. Your spirit is 100% righteous. You are given the righteousness of God by faith in Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 says that God made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen? The only sin that Jesus ever had was our sin. God laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus became a sin offering for the world. And really, if you understand it, the only true righteousness that we'll ever have is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And we have been made, we have been given his righteousness by faith in his grace. Amen? So that's the gospel. So that's the heart of what I teach. Now, Paul writes in letters like Timothy, like Titus. He writes to Timothy, his spiritual son, and he says, hey, this is how you got to live this out. And if you don't live it out by faith, it's not going to work very well for you. Amen? So you got to have both sides. Amen? But that's the heart of the gospel, grace, faith, and righteousness. Amen? Now, let's jump into the word. Paul wrote this about 56 A.D. again, and it's commonly considered the greatest exposition of Christian doctrine anywhere in the Bible. So we're going to begin here in verse 1. It says, Paul, a servant of Jesus. I love that. I am a love slave of Jesus. Listen, I don't have to do this. I get to do this. I don't have to read my Bible. I get to read my Bible. I don't have to pray. I get to pray. I don't have to go to church. I get to go to church. I don't have to teach. I get to teach the word. I don't have to love people. I get to love people. I don't have to give. I get to give. Amen. I'm excited about it. Amen. You know what? You get addicted to giving and God will support your habit. And he supported me quite well. I told Andrew the other day, Andrew called me on Saturday. I had a question about a few things. And he called me and talked to me about 20 minutes. I so appreciated his call. But I said, Andrew, it's not about the money. He said, Lawson, I know with you it's not about the money. He said, your giving proves it. Amen. And you can't outgive God. Amen. But that's just how the gospel is. It's not that we have to do this. When you understand what God has done for you and who Jesus is, you can't help but respond by faith to his grace. Amen. So he says, Paul, a servant, an apostle. You know, there's five ministry gifts that are given by the Lord Jesus Christ to the church. They're listed in Ephesians 4, verse 11 and 12, and in a different way in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. But it says, when Jesus ascended, he gave gifts to men, and he gave first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. That's what 1 Corinthians 12, 28 talks about. But it says in Ephesians 4:11, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. Praise God, apostles, like the thumb on the hand, works very closely with other fingers, works very closely with other ministry gifts. Amen? Somebody's not an apostle because they, I'm an apostle, you do what I say. No. An apostle, he says, I'm a love slave of Jesus. And he called me to be an apostle. I've been sent by Jesus. It means a sent one in the Greek. See, when the Romans would take over an area, they would send in what they called apostles. And they found out that they could militarily overtake a country. But if they didn't affect the culture, they would never get them to accept their form of government. So they would send people in to change the culture. And if they could change the culture, then they could change, the people would accept their government. So what we're really called to do is bring heaven to earth. We're called to affect the culture with Christ. Amen? Christ lives in us. Just let him live through us. That's Christianity. Easy. Hallelujah. You can't do this in your own strength, in your own power. Prophet means, you know, he's like one who reveals. And a prophet, by definition, another name in the Old Testament was seer, would be a person who would operate in two of the three of the gifts of revelation, which are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. I don't have time to teach on it right now. An evangelist is like your middle finger. The middle finger reaches out past all of the others. An evangelist preaches the good news and heals the sick. There's only one New Testament named evangelist. He's Philip. In Acts chapter 8, it says Philip the evangelist. It says, calls him an evangelist later in Acts. But it says he went down to Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And when they heard and saw the miracles, they heard demons come out. And they saw miracles for many who had the palsy were healed. They gave heed to the gospel. And there was great joy in that city. And those who believed were baptized in water. Peter, John heard about it from Jerusalem and came down there. And they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. That's all in Acts chapter 8. Amen? So an evangelist preaches the good news. An evangelist, by definition, will operate in gifts of power. Right? We'll see what the gifts of power, the gift of faith, the working of miracles, the gifts of healing. The pastor is like the ring finger. The pastor, talk about the church, the church, the church, the church, the church. Why? Because he's married to the church. I love the church. Jesus said, I'll build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The pastor is like, right? Jesus is the chief shepherd. Jesus is the head of all these. He's the chief apostle, Hebrews 3:1. Amen. Jesus is a prophet like unto Moses, the book of Acts says. Jesus is the greatest evangelist. He preached the good news. And he healed the sick and cast out devils, set people free. Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep. He is the ultimate pastor. He is the chief shepherd, 1 Peter 5 says. And ultimately, he is the teacher of teachers. Now, when Ephesians 4 says, he says, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. If you're a pastor, if you want to pastor effectively, you must teach. Right? You can be a teacher without being a pastor, but you can't be a pastor effectively without teaching. Right? So pastor's in love with the church. See, you're getting something here. Right? Jesus. The teacher's like the little finger. He goes in there, takes hard things and makes them simple. That's what I'm trying to do right now. I'm trying to make this so simple that you can't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm trying to make the gospel so simple that when some religious person comes and explains a bunch of things and mixes it all up and tells you that, you know, God doesn't heal anymore and tells you that you can't believe God to prosper financially, that you realize, oh, no, the Bible says this. The Bible says in 3 John 2, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That's not what the Bible says. I'm trying to make it so easy. Amen. That's what a teacher does. They take hard things and make them simple. Praise God. So he says, I'm a servant, called to be an apostle. I've been sent, separated to the gospel. Paul was separated. You can read about it in Galatians chapter 1. He persecuted Christians, but he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And Ananias came. Ananias had heard all the evil that he had done. You can read about it in Acts chapter 9. And Ananias said, this one that I've heard so much bad about, you want me to do what? He said he prays. Go pray for him. And he went and laid hands on him. And Paul received his sight, received the Holy Ghost. And then Paul immediately began to preach the faith that he destroyed. He was transformed by the gospel. He was transformed by Jesus when he met Jesus. Knowing Jesus changes everything. The problem with some people is they know about him, but they really don't know him. Paul, a servant, called to be an apostle, separated of the gospel, which he promised before by the prophets in the Holy Scriptures. I'm writing, he says, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Who is Jesus Christ? Jesus is the Savior. He's made of the seed of David according to the flesh. He came as a man to save us from our sin. Isaiah prophesied about 600 to 700 years before Christ. For unto us a child is given. He's first a man. He's the Son of Man. He's the Savior of the world. Revelation. John the apostle saw Jesus, the resurrected Savior of the world. He said, unto him who saved us and washed us in his blood from our sins. How many of you are glad Jesus didn't take the nature of angels, Hebrews said in chapter 2, but he became the seed of Abraham, the seed that he might bring us into the covenant of Abraham. And would you put faith in Jesus, you become, according to Galatians chapter 3, the seed of Abraham. The Bible calls him the seed of David. He's the Son of Man in Revelation chapter 22. He's the Savior. He's the Lord in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. Jesus is the resurrected Lord of the church. And he's the coming King. In Revelation chapter 4, John said, I heard a voice as a trumpet speaking to me, and I looked into heaven and I saw a door open. He said, come up here and I'll show you what's going to be hereafter. After what? After the church age. Listen, Jesus is coming again. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about that. There's a lot of mess in this world, and I'm telling you, Jesus is the answer. The UN's never going to fix things up. Hallelujah. He's Jesus, the Savior. He's the Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. David talked about it in Psalm 22. He said, he cried on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus the Savior. He said in Psalm 23, Jesus is Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He takes so good a care of me. God is my Father. And I know that he loves me, and he always takes care of me in grand style. The Lord is my shepherd. He prepares me a table, he goes on to say, in the presence of my enemies, devil, eat your heart out. He anoints my head with oil. Hallelujah. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Half a verse about eternity. The other five and a half are about right here, right now. Jesus is my Lord. The Bible says that God made him Lord when he raised him from the dead and gave him a name that's higher than any name in Philippians chapter 2, that every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. Jesus was Lord in heaven. He created all things. He's Lord on the earth. He was Lord over sin, Lord over sickness, Lord over disease, Lord over demons, Lord over death. Jesus was Lord when he walked on the earth, and Jesus was Lord when he went to the grave. Amen. Colossians 2 says it blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against him, and he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Having spoiled principalities in verse 15 and powers, made a show of them, openly triumphing over them in it. Jesus is Lord. And Jesus is the coming King. Psalm 24. Open up the gates and he's going to come in. The King of glory. Who is the King of glory? Jesus. Those are prophetic psalms. Paul writes the same thing. Jesus, he's the Savior. He's the seed of David according to the flesh. He's the Lord. He's the Son of God. He's declared to be the Son of God by with power by the resurrection from the dead. See, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if the princes of this world would have known what was going to happen when they crucified the glory, I think it's Lord of glory, it's verse 8, they never would have crucified him. Jesus is Lord. See, Satan thought he won when he hung Jesus on the cross. But when Jesus died, he went to the grave and he dealt the devil a death blow. And Jesus was Lord in hell. And 3 days later, God raised him from the dead. And he ascended into heaven. Jesus is Lord in heaven, creating all things. He's Lord on the earth over sin, over death, over disease, over demons. Oh, Jesus is Lord. And he's Lord over the grave. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Who is Jesus? By whom we receive grace and apostleship. He's the King of kings. He's our coming King. How many of you are glad he's the King of kings? Now, as we read a little bit farther, notice as we go on down. Paul says, among who you are called of Jesus to all you be in Rome, believe, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus. That's in about 18 New Testament books. Start with grace and peace. First, I thank my God through Jesus for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel. You got to serve him through the spirit. That's the only way you're really going to be able to serve him well. In the gospel of his son, that without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayer. I just can't get away from it. Making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come. I want to come and share the good message of Jesus. For I long to see you. This is my prayer today for you. This is my prayer for me to you. I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established. We're not going to get people established through some natural understanding, through our great education. But we're going to get people established through the power and the presence and the gifting of the Holy Spirit. That I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I wanted to come to you, that I might have some fruit among you, even as other Gentiles. But then in verse 14, 15, and 16, Paul talks about three decisions that ruled his life. He says, number one, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, to the wise and the unwise. He made a decision to live his life as a debtor. I owe my life to Jesus. I owe my life to you. He says in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and verse 20, for I'm bought with a price. Therefore, he said, you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. My spirit is God's. Jesus' blood paid for my forgiveness. Jesus' blood paid for my righteousness. Jesus' blood paid for my sanctification. Jesus' blood paid in my spirit. Your spirit is sanctified the moment you believe on Jesus. Your soul is sanctified as you renew your mind in the Word. And your body is being sanctified as you surrender to the Lordship of Jesus. Paul talks about that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But he says, you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. But not only is your spirit God's, your body is God's. I don't belong to me anymore. Paul says this in Galatians 2:20. He's talking about really death to the law, death to legalism, death to his old religion way of living. He says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. He made this decision to live his life as a debtor. My dad used to listen to country western music. I remember so much when we first started going to Andrew's meetings. My dad would listen to this old, it's terrible music. Crying in your beer. Oh, the snakes crawl at night. That's what they say when the sun goes down. Oh, my God. That's one they play. Another day older and what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. My God. You wonder why you're so broke? Why you're watching Two Broke Girls or whatever that show is. I see the title and say, why in God's name would anybody watch that kind of stuff and put that in their mind? You know, but my daddy had listened to that old stuff. And we were talking to him about, Daddy, you need to change this. You know, we learned, you know, that our words have power and these words have power. And we were actually on the road and we lived about 10 miles out in the country. In fact, Andrew had a Bible study in Lamar, Colorado on Thursday night. I started going, but he had one southeast of East Colorado, about 10 or 12 miles north of our house, 1 mile east. And so Andrew many times would pick me up, pop off the road a mile, pick me up, take me to the Bible study. I sat through counseling sessions with him. I learned so much. I say I was one of his first Bible school students. But it means so much to me. And I appreciate Andrew so much. I appreciate the investment that he has made in my life. But he would take me with him, praise God. But we were going way out in the country to visit some people that live not far from that. You know, we were going 15 or 20 miles northeast to visit this family. My dad turned on KLMR. Andrew Womack started preaching on the radio on KLMR, Lamar, Colorado, 9:40 a.m. I think I got it right. It might be 9:20. But anyway, I started preaching a number of years later when I went to Kit Carson and started my first church. Kit Carson's about 140 miles straight east of here. Carrie Pickett came from there. Carrie came out of my church. I introduced her to Andrew, introduced her to Bible school. Love Carrie, love Mike. I remember Carrie coming to our church. Well, God's just told me I'm just going to be, you know, I'm not going to be married and all this. I said, oh, she's done for now. It's like 6 months later, oh, I'm getting married to Mike. And Mike's awesome. He's an amazing person, a great balance to Carrie. They're great people. Love Mike and Carrie. Praise God. Amen. So just you know, but we're on the road and my dad turns on KLMR and they're singing Tequila Sunrise. I'm like, that's a really good one, Daddy. Tequila Sunrise. Put that in your spirit, you know? So you don't have enough problems. Listen to some, you know what happens? They used to talk about if you played a rock and roll record backwards, and I got to preach my message, but if you played it backwards, you know, a rock and roll, it would tell you how to smoke marijuana, roll a joint. Now it's legal in Colorado, but I don't smoke. Amen. And I remember some of those hippies from the 60s that smoked too much. And listen, they had to learn how to talk. See, it's fire. No, it won't affect you. Just really slow down your brain, man. I called one guy, a few months back, and I said, hey, could you do this for me? And I talked to him a few. He didn't remember the conversation the next day. And I'm telling you, he was smoking a little weed. Reefer, that is, they call it ganja in Jamaica. It ain't no good for your brain. I don't care what anybody tells you. It's no good for your body either. Hallelujah. I've been redeemed. Amen. If you're smoking that stuff, Jesus still loves you, but get a brain and quit doing that. Save your brain. Amen. And Andrew Womack will agree with me if you don't. Hallelujah. I love you and Andrew loves you. And Jesus loves you, but quit it. I'm a debtor. He made a decision to live his life, not like somebody owes me, not like I'm a victim, but I live my life as a debtor. I owe my life to Jesus. I owe my life to people. I owe my life to this world. Listen, I don't want to do anything in my life that brings discount to the name of Jesus. I don't want to do anything that brings discount that causes grief to my wife or to my children. I don't want to do anything that would bring shame or reproach on the name of Andrew and Jamie Womack in this ministry or Caris Bible College. I don't want to do anything that would bring reproach to my church And I don't want to do anything that would bring reproach to the message of the gospel. I want to keep a good reputation. I'm a debtor. I owe my life. I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. I am to glorify God in my body. I'm a debtor. And my spirit, Paul says, I'm a debtor. The second decision that he makes. So as much as in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel. Hallelujah. I'm ready. If you'll get ready, God will give you a place to preach. Hallelujah. Listen, I get to share everywhere. I'm sharing with people all the time. I went the other day, I'd been preaching in Florida, and I went on Friday, I think it was, it might have been Saturday, to Costco. And I was walking down the aisle in Costco, and I said, glory to God. I was getting me some peanuts. And this guy said, hey, Pastor Lawson, we went to your church last Wednesday night. We brought a woman with us, and she got born again. I said, oh, that's awesome. My son was preaching. I said, that's awesome. Hallelujah. I was getting people saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Telling people about the goodness of God. I went to the dollar store late the other night in kind of rough area town. saw a guy out there probably, you know, homeless on a bench. Told him hi. Praise God. Was kind to him. Amen. Saw a guy. Went in there. He's all tattooed up. Looked rough. I said, hey, Jesus loves you. He said, hey, thank you so much. I could tell he was surprised they even spoke to him. Amen. But you can share the good news wherever you go. People need the love of God. They need Jesus. He says, I'm ready to preach the gospel. I want to share the good news. I want to tell people about Jesus. We used to sing this song when I was a kid. Got to tell somebody what Jesus did for me. Got to tell somebody how Jesus set me free. If I had all the world this money had to give, it wouldn't be enough to buy one drop of the blood that Jesus shed for my salvation. So he made three key decisions. I'm a debtor. I'm ready to preach the good message of Jesus. The gospel is the good news. I remember reading this book when I was about 20 years old. It was called The Good News. Something like that. It was the Good Life. It's called The Good Life. It was written by T.L. Osborne. T.L. was a great minister of the gospel, the good message of Jesus. He came to save you, heal you, and fill you with the Holy Ghost. That's what T.L. preached. T.L. got millions of people saved and thousands of people healed and filled with the Holy Ghost. Preached a really simple message. When I was reading this book on the Good Life, it's a great book. I've read it recently. I was thinking, this is almost too good to be true. And then like the next month, Andrew Womack sent out a letter, his monthly newsletter. The gospel is the almost too good to be true news about what God has already done for you in the person of Jesus. It's the gospel. I thought, wow, there it is. It's almost too good to be true. So Paul, who's Jesus? Son of God, Son of Man, Savior, Lord, and King. Amen? Three decisions that ruled his life. But what is the gospel? The gospel is the revelation of righteousness. Let's talk about that for just a little bit. Paul says in verse 16 and 17, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the good message of Jesus, the gospel of Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah. For the gospel is the power of God to salvation. The gospel releases the power of God to salvation. What is salvation if you study it out in the Greek? Sozo, the word for save, and soteria, the word for salvation in the Greek. It includes, look at it in the Strong's, forgiveness, healing, freedom, peace, and provision. Jesus came to forgive you. He came to heal you. He came to give you peace. He came to free you. And he came to bless you. Acts 3:26, God sent Jesus to you first, the Jews, to bless you. God sent Jesus to bless you. God wants to bless you. God wants to help you. God wants to heal you. God wants to free you. God wants to forgive you more than you want to be forgiven. He wants to heal you more than you want to be. This is not the gospel of Andrew. This is not the gospel of Jesse Duplantis. This is not the gospel of Pastor Lawson. This is the gospel of Jesus. This is the message of Jesus. This is the promise of Jesus. This is what salvation is. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the Messiah, the Anointed One, for it empowers God to work salvation, healing, deliverance, freedom, provision, peace, righteousness. The gospel is the power of God to salvation. To who? To everybody who believes it. I don't know how many times I've had people come to my church and they'll meet me out front afterwards. They say, "You really believe that?" Absolutely, I believe it. Paul said, "I'm concerned that you've corrupted the simplicity of the gospel. You've made it too complicated. You've made it too hard. The way of the transgressor is hard." Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you, for it's easy and it's light. Believe it and you can receive it." I'm just a believer. I really believe that stuff. Don't tell me it doesn't work. Don't tell me that healing doesn't work. I had a lady that came to my church this past February. They gave her less. She'd been in my church for years. They gave her less than 3 weeks to live. She was all gray. She was all blowed up when she went into the hospital. And they said she was full of cancer. They said, "Listen, you got 3 weeks. Go get ready." They said, "We could do surgery. It won't help you. We could do chemo. It won't help you. Nothing that we could do will help you. You're going to die. You've got 3 weeks." I went to see her. They called me. I went to the hospital and I laid hands on her and I prayed for her. And I said, "You know, Dodie Osteen got healed. You know, John, her husband, did everything he could do." He asked the doctors. They did everything they could do. She weighed like 86 pounds and he carried her out of the hospital and he brought her home and he spoke the word of God. She said, "I got Dodie's book and I'm speaking those words right now, Pastor. I'm not going to live, but I'm not going to die, but I'm going to live and declare the works of the Lord." Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, a little bit later, her stomach flattened out, her color turned pink, and Jesus healed and whole. She doesn't have a bit of cancer in her body. And I see her every Sunday morning dancing and worshiping God. And she's about 80 years old, loving Jesus, healed and whole and well and blessed. I heard about somebody, they said, "Pastor, they can't walk from the front to get into the sanctuary anymore." So I said, "Call them up and ask them if I could come pray for them." And I went over and prayed for him and anointed him with oil in the name of the Lord, like James 5:14 says, last Thursday, a week ago, tomorrow. They said, "I'm feeling better right now." I said, "Within 10 days, you'll be completely healed." And they came to church Friday night. They came to church Sunday morning. They said, "I'm feeling better now, even better than when you prayed for me Thursday. Just wait another week, honey. I've seen the Holy Ghost work." This isn't Lawson. This isn't my power. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God to salvation to everybody who believes it. Do you believe it? I believe this stuff and it's working for me. Don't tell me it ain't going to work. Don't tell me about your Aunt Sally and your Uncle Bill and how it didn't work for them. It's working for Lawson Purdue and you ain't going to get me away from it. I don't care what you think about me. I don't care what you say about me. I don't care what you think. Don't tell me prosperity don't work. Andrew came. We lived in a little old trailer house. My parents drove cars with hundreds of thousands of miles. My dad had epilepsy. My mom was a school teacher. They didn't have much. But I started believing it, and it's working for me. Amen. I came to church to Colorado Springs 23 years ago with almost no people and no money, and I got a building that the county values at over $24 million. They had it at $29 million, but I argued with them and got it down. And it's completely paid for. The gospel works if you believe it. It works if you believe it. He says, for therein, in the gospel, he says, it works to everyone, to Jews and to Greeks. For therein, in the gospel, the righteousness of God has been revealed from faith to faith, from the faith of the Jew to the faith of the Gentile, according as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And if you believe it, you can receive it. And if you receive it, you are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Blessings.